episode 30, the big 3-0.
Yep, yeah.
I honestly don't know what happens at 30. And
you're middle-aged.
You're middle-aged and crazy like Terry Funk. But,
dude.
Yeah, obviously.
Maybe you get to, if you're really important, you get to get married with a bunch of the public money.
Hey, the Royals bring us more money than they spend, so.
Do they?
Yeah,
What is their purpose nowadays?
Let's just say the main attraction is tourism. The reasons why Americans come here to look at castles is because we have royals sitting in them. Otherwise, they can go to France and look at castles, but they don't have royals, so.
Oh, look at those old people sitting in the castle. They're so adorable.
Hey, it's not my fault. The Americans love our royal family.
And you have also everybody gossip. It happens. But yes, as you could hear, joining me as usual, we have Daniel.
Yeah, from Britain. And
he was one of the billions of people who tuned in for the royal wedding.
But I did.
It was like
the billions of people. One of the few people that pretended to care. No, I didn't pretend to care. Actually,
it's like the World Cup, the Super Bowl, and the Oscars all rolled into one for Europe.
And yeah, I couldn't care about either of those either. So, works.
Really?
Really.
So, I mean, what is your big thing? Is it, like, E3, I guess?
Yes.
Valve games.
I mean, Valve doesn't have, like how most gamers look forward to E3 because it's that big thing.
E3 is, like, the game is Christmas, so there you go.
Yeah, like, for me, it would be, like, WrestleMania and E3 and Comic-Con.
Yeah, actually, E3 is pretty huge.
So, yeah, and joining us once again, we have Jason.
Hey, hey.
And we found him also in a time stream. Anthony has once again rejoined us.
Remember me, guys? From America?
It's Bizarro, Anthony.
Oh, it's blue box.
Careful.
Blue box.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about this week, which is kind of odd, because like, when I was doing this on Thursday, I didn't think there was anything to talk about, and then Sony just kind of opened the floodgates in the last couple of days.
Quite literally.
Well, at least it's free, right?
We might as well start there. There's no way to get around it. The PSN service has been down as of this recording for about 2 weeks now.
And Sony lost your personal information.
It's like a week and a half, but yeah.
It's been about 2 weeks now. I mean, I think 2 weeks Tuesday. This comes out on Monday.
17th.
Wednesday.
So 2 weeks. Okay. So, yes, PSN has been down for quite some time, somewhere between a week and a half to 2 weeks. And in this time, apparently, there was a breach in Sony security that have leaked everybody's personal information.
Whoops.
Now, according to Sony, that means that
that's
the
good.
I think they said they have something like 78 million registered PSN users.
It counts Curiosity as well, so if you had a Curiosity account, or however you say that.
Yeah, Curiosity.
If you had an account for that and not the PlayStation Network, your information almost got also got lost for that.
But not Sony Online Entertainment Games. Isn't that a little weird?
Isn't that like one of those? I thought it was just DC Universe Online.
EverQuest.
Okay.
I don't know what else. There's a lot. It's a pretty big division.
Sony, and this is kind of funny, and this is something I remarked to Anthony when I was watching the press conference, is they have to backpedal on their numbers now, because they were saying that there's 78 million registered PSN users, but now it's not in their favor to, like, you know, that's not actually 78 million people, you know, people have multiple accounts.
That's so easy to make.
Yeah, I mean, each system, I think, has a max of 7 accounts. And it's not like Xbox Live, or, you know, where you have to pay $50 a year for every account or whatever.
You can make a silver account for free.
Yeah, you can, but you know, you don't really, what's the sense
of that? You don't get to do anything with that silver account.
Yeah. Where, like,
get those achievements one more time.
Like, I have a PS3 and I have multiple accounts because I have, like, you know, I have my default account. I have a European account, so whenever demos and betas that aren't in America pops up, I can
really?
Get those.
Really? That's
and
smart.
I have a Japanese account.
I should do that.
Isn't that standard, though, for everyone who has... I mean, I don't even have a PlayStation 3 anymore, and I have a European and a Japanese.
Really? Why
yeah, really?
Yeah. Behind on this?
Apparently, you're one of those people.
I had a PlayStation 3 for 3 weeks.
And, yeah, you... I'm surprised you don't have any international...
Wait,
account.
That really sucks, Daniel. Is your credit card on there?
No, because I'm one of these people that wherever possible, I go prepaid.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
And the thing is for things like this, I mean, it sounds like I'm being overly cautious, but evidently in the case of Sony and the PlayStation Network, it paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of big ha-ha moment.
And yeah. And the thing is I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're so archaic going with prepaid mobile phones and buying...
No, I like prepaid too, usually.
And
I don't like prepaid
and
phones.
Or Xbox Live subscriptions. People,
no, not phones.
Hey, did you just stick your credit card on there? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Because that way I have to wrestle with automatic payments, which may not always be true. And if my information is lost, then I'm screwed.
That's why I don't like. That's why I didn't like having my credit card attached to Xbox Live. It's because I would always forget when my thing expired, and it's like, oh, you paid for an extra month anyhow. Like, damn it! And they do it in months too, which are more expensive because I think it was what $7 for a month, as opposed to like the $60 I guess now it is for a year.
Yeah,
who buys Xbox Live at $60 a year now?
I don't know. Somebody was having.
This is another advantage of going prepaid: is you get discounts.
Yeah. Like I had people who were like, you know, like they're trying to put that on the PSN situation. Like, oh, I spent $120 on Xbox Live over the 2 years. I'm like, you're really not doing it right.
People
then.
Just say that because it's the official price. But
yeah,
I over here, Xbox Live for 1 year is $35.99, and I pay $22.99. all the time.
Yeah,
I'm not even, paying the price of a whole retail game.
Yeah, I have never paid more than $30 for a year of Xbox Live. So either you're not price shopping or you just want to make like I don't know what to say, and I really hate beating up on them, but I don't get how anybody could have defended Sony in this situation.
This like, is the thing,
you'll
is
find those people, they are on the message boards.
Oh, there are a ton of people. I've seen a ton of defenses for Sony. It's not Sony's fault. It's the hacker's fault.
I don't thank you, Sony, for informing us so soon.
Yes, they do. Obviously, they hacked into the system. But it's Sony's fault also for not actually protecting their customers' information.
Yeah, and that's
and here's the big thing, right, is back in 2005, Sony music CDs came with things called rootkits on them, and they're basically viruses that dig themselves deep into the operating system and they're hard to get rid of. So they go to that length to protect their products, but not when it comes to their customers' information.
And, I mean...
And then, okay.
Everyone about it.
Yeah, they take a week to send emails out.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest issue, and I think that's what most people misunderstand about the situation, is a lot of people... I mean, there are people who are upset that PSN is down and you can't play online gaming. I think... My issue, and I think a lot of people's issue, is how Sony handled this whole situation.
Yeah.
Because they were silent pretty much for a week before they announced, like, yeah, we took down the servers, your information was breached, some of your vital information may have been taken.
Not only is it bad that it took them so long to tell people, but if you imagine you're, 40, and you bought your kid a PS3, and you signed up for PSN using your email address, and you have all these sort of family protection stuff, and you see something like this hit the mass media before you were actually told about it by Sony, which is what happened. The mass media caught up on it before Sony alerted their customers to it, which is... And I can only imagine how pissed off these people are that I used in my example, because they had to hear about it from a third party.
Well, I think to be fair, most people would probably have heard about it from any place but Sony.
Yep.
I guess, granted, they did have a press conference, but even then, most people still do hear things from news or from, like, friends and stuff like that. Because a lot of people, like, for example, I put it up on, like, my Facebook and Twitter so my friends would be informed, because I know they don't, you know, surf the web for gaming news as much as I do. And, you know, they're hearing about it from a third party. But, you know, the thing is just getting the word out there. And, you know, you can't spread the word if the word isn't known for a week.
Here's another thing is Sony offered compensation, right, which is standard. But even Sony's compensation has a catch. It's just mind-boggling how everything has a catch with Sony. Everything.
I think it was a great idea by Sony, because technically they're pretty much advertising PSN Plus for themselves.
The thing is, so you get some content which they haven't defined yet,
and it's different by region.
Yeah, it's different.
And you only get it for a month.
You get one piece of content for free regardless, and it differs by region. And
oh,
then
yeah,
you get,
and you get
you get 30 days of PlayStation Plus, of which 2 weeks of that will, you won't be able to use because the PlayStation Store won't be up.
Well, I assume they're smart enough not to...
Well, I was I was told that for 2 weeks of the 30 days you get of PlayStation Plus for free, the PlayStation Store won't even be up.
Yeah, I know the PlayStation Store won't be up. It's one of the
so you can't do anything with this PlayStation Plus subscription.
But I didn't know. I was hoping that it, you know, if you have control over the network and stuff, well, that's
and
not
then with
true in this
the
case.
Stuff you get through PlayStation Plus, you only get to keep until
as long as you have PlayStation Plus.
Right? So you're going to lose the content you get through PlayStation Plus, and it's just going to be a waste of time. I think the only thing that you the only people that benefit are the people who subscribe to Curiosity. And they get a 30-day subscription added onto their existing thing. And here's another thing, is if you have a PSP and not a PS3, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You don't get anything.
Oh, I did not know that.
Guarantee the content will leave. I mean, the only time you get anything is if the content you guarantee for free is a mini.
Well, I'm curious, because I think Jason and I are the only ones here who own a PS3. Am I mistaken?
I don't know.
We have one over here.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of curious as to, I mean, what do you think is a, like, what games would they have to put on the service to kind of actually compensate people for this?
Why don't they just give you credit for the store?
You know,
the game? Because that happened to me with one of the ones Microsoft did.
Yeah, that actually happens with, I think, because they gave out Costa. However you pronounce it?
Curiosity.
It's a board game.
Oh, Carcassonne.
I still haven't gotten that, actually. I signed up for it, but...
What happens if the content they give you, like, if it's Fat Princess or Sonic 4 or, you know, something, like Starhawk or Warhawk or whatever it is?
Yeah, but, again, that only benefits the people that have PlayStation 3. So there are plenty of people out there that only have PSN accounts, but only on a PSP.
Yeah,
they're
but what
really
I'm saying
playing is those online.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the thing.
It doesn't mean anything less because you've still got your information up there.
Well, I mean, as far as okay, let's run down what they announced at the press conference.
But I feel like what they're doing is more for the outage than for the information being stolen.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, and I understand why people who are upset about PSN would be appeased by that. It's standard. I mean, Microsoft gives you a month of Xbox Live for every Red Ring of Death you get. You know, they gave you a free arcade game when I was down for like 2 weeks or whatever.
It wasn't even that long. It was like 2 days.
No, I think it was down for 2 weeks.
But here's the funny thing is when people compare, I've seen people compare this to that, that you can't compare the two. One was just 2 weeks of outage. The other one is 2 weeks of outage and 70 million people's worth of data was lost.
And the other thing was that Microsoft kept you up to date pretty much every
Microsoft
day.
Microsoft are really, if nothing else, Microsoft are really good at just communicating with their customers. Whereas Sony are like, oh, it's not up yet. We don't have any other information for you.
Well, I mean, they announced at the conference that PSN services will be restored starting this week. And they'll continue to roll out new services throughout the month. I was actually kind of humorous that the people who thought that this outage would be a good thing for Sony and they'd like you know instead of like, working on a breach and stuff, they'd like, have a bunch of new features.
It would have been nice had they introduced features that people have been asking for since like cross game chat and stuff. You know, it would kind of show that Sony are going above and beyond, but they're not. So,
well, I mean, even I guess. Because it could be misconstrued by some people that then they're just wasting resources because you want it. Because they still haven't really confirmed if credit card information has been stolen. The only thing they have confirmed is that they are guaranteed that like, your credit card security code hasn't been stolen.
Great.
So
because they had some kind of statement that came out. They had encryptions on the personal – or excuse me, they did not have encryptions on personal information, but they said they had a type of encryption on the credit card stuff.
Here's the thing is, you can cancel a credit card. You can't change your date of birth.
Right.
Well, they also said that they are willing to pay you any type of credit card reimbursement fee you need for exchanging it or canceling it or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how it works in America, but if I need to ring up my bank and say, cancel my card, please, it costs me 5 minutes of time and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty, I think most of them, because credit card is a big problem nowadays, most of them don't usually put up a fight over it or anything. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's, this whole thing is just goodwill by Sony just trying to kind of get back people's good faith in them.
I think if nothing else, this whole debacle is the culmination of Sony's mistakes this generation.
Yeah, and I think, and again, I hate beating up on Sony. We do it so often.
For the most part, they have really good exclusives. That's the one thing that it took them a while to get them going, but once they got going, that they've been really consistent. But I think that's the only thing that Sony have really done right this generation.
And I think they had no option because they also had a major third-party franchises.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that, it's an article, and I think Game of Sutra wrote something like this, and it's something I've been saying for most of this generation, is that as much as people want to say that, you know, the PlayStation 3, at the end of the day, will end up doing well. It will be one of the highest-selling systems of all time. But to be scrapping for second or third place between the Xbox 360 and losing a third of your market, well, two-thirds of your market, actually, from last generation, there's nothing but to say that the PlayStation brand has diminished greatly this generation.
Well, look
this
at all the phones and tablets putting it on and calling it
last generation, instead of people refer to video games as PlayStations, now they refer to them as Xboxes.
I think if anything, more people would say Wii.
No.
I think either that or Nintendo.
Wii is, like, different. Like, people know what Wii
is. It's different, but I think it's different in the sense that people, like, if your mother talks about it, she's not going to say, are you playing on your Xbox?
Yes, she's like this.
Well,
so Wii's different for her.
Yeah, I guess, but it's what the people I hear, because the people, you know, like the quote-unquote mainstream gamers, the casual gamers, whatever you want to call them, they usually talk about stuff like Wii Fit and Wii Sports and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, you know, like I want that new workout game or that new dance game for the Nintendo or something like that. I think Microsoft has made great strides this generation. As I was telling Anthony this yesterday, I think of the three, they have the best managed, you know, generation. I mean, Nintendo's ended their generation early, as we know, with Project Cat.
Early compared to the early. Other two, but standard compared to normal times.
It's standard, but if you think about it from this point that they are the market leaders and they're the ones being forced to go out first because they really don't have that support to keep their console going beyond this year.
But, like, the Wii was totally mission accomplished for them in every respect. Like, they did
okay.
They weren't planning on it being out.
That's the thing is, but I think because the Wii has become such a success, it means that they can put more effort into Cafe.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting project, and I mean, we'll touch on it again, because I don't know if we officially had them announce it last week, but yeah. This whole Sony thing, now people are saying, like, once this is over, it's going to be over for them. Do you think this is...
I think it will be forever remembered.
I think it's not... I think you're going to have gamers and you're going to have Sony apologists who are going to, you know...
One of them.
And I know people who have forgiven them already. I know people who are like, you know what, Sony's giving us free content. Stop you bitching. And to some people, it's enough. You know, like the people who are upset about... Like, personally, I'm upset about the breach and how they handled the situation, but it didn't affect me because it just so happened that my credit card expired at the end of last week anyhow. So, you know, none of that information is useful.
You won't be saying that if somebody applies for insurance in your name and ruins credit.
Oh, yeah, that could happen. But I'm talking about, like, you know, like the financial stuff is the main issue. If something happens later on down the road, yes, I can point to this situation. But at the end of the day, I really think this is going to hurt them. You know, just customer...
It has damaged the brand.
Yeah, it's damaged the brand, and it's also going to damage, I assume, their multi-platform games, because it's like, example, with Portal 2, which just came out, and they just rolled out that huge thing with Steam, and just, like, I've had a Steam code for Portal 2 for about the same extent of this blackout, and I can't use it.
My friend
is waiting to play with me on co-op, and he can't, because I have a PC copy. And he has a PS3 copy.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for it to happen.
So, yeah, I mean that. And it was a big week for them because they had SOCOM, they had Mortal Kombat, and they had Portal. All three were huge online games, especially SOCOM, which, from what I understand, isn't that great of a single-player game anyhow.
Well, I don't think people were going to buy it for the single-player.
Yeah, which is my point. And then you have your online to go down for 2 weeks on the release of one of your biggest online games this year. I mean, you still have Killzone, you have... Resistance coming out later on, and Uncharted, of course. I mean, we haven't heard word on how they're compensating people for like DC Universe Online or
no, that stuff. That stuff separate.
Yeah, but the thing is, that you need to sign into PSN to play it online, and it's.
But that's what I mean, though. It's like the people because they're if you have it on PC, that's different. But if you have it on PS3, you can't play it, Well, no, because the PS3 one's on the PS3 servers. That's why you can't play with people on PC. And what else is there? And the people in the Infamous 2 beta.
Well, they're extending the Infamous 2 beta.
Yeah, but at some point it makes no sense because the game's out in a couple
of weeks. Yeah, but this is what Sony do anyway. This is a Sony beta. I swear we were talking about this last week.
We talked about this yesterday.
Sony's betas aren't really betas.
They're extended. Demos. They're special demos. speaking of betas, has anybody played Gears of War 3 today?
I haven't played it today. I heard they put the Easter bunny ears back.
I don't have a beta key.
Yeah, I had one for you, but you never showed up for the podcast, so I gave it
away. What?
Yes, I had one for you because I figured you would want
See,
one.
I got first access for my Bulletstorm Epic Edition copy.
Oh, you got first access after me.
Yeah, last one to know, I know to get in.
Yeah, that was weird that the Epic Edition was, like, not first access at all.
No, it wasn't. And the GameStop pre-orders, I think, are just activated this past week. But yeah, I mean, I think that should... Is there anything else you folks want to talk about as far as the PSN situation is concerned?
I wish people would stop saying it's going to happen to Xbox Live. By the sounds of it, it was a situation unique to Sony because they something to do with the way the developer accounts are structured.
That reminds me, because they had a press conference this morning, as we mentioned before, and they said that it was the hackers exploited a known flaw in the system, and they knew about it. But I think not everybody knew about it.
Sued for that.
I mean,
I think they had to be honest.
Here's the thing, right? Is the how long has the PS3 been hacked? What, months? Not even a year, right? And the iPhone has been jailbroken since almost day one. Right? The Wii has been hacked for at least 4 or 5 years, right? The 360, the hacks have been around for that since day one, right?
And, but those are different hacks. They're not, like, personal information hacks.
But that's what he's saying. It's that people who hack Sony's PS3.
Platforms have been hacked, and they can't use that hack to get into the central databases of Apple, of Microsoft, of Nintendo. So I think that it was something to do. It's got to be something to do with the PS3 hack. There must have been some sort of fatal flaw in the way the data was sent between the PS3, be it a dev kit or a proper retail console, and their servers. It must be. It's just too coincidental.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of knee-jerk reactions to this. I hope Sony's earned their lesson, and moving forward, I expect that they will probably be the most secure of the three as far as online, because no company is dumb enough to have this happen to them a second time, I hope.
I really don't want to see Sony repeat the mistakes they made this generation, next generation. They need to, they must learn. Nobody can be that arrogant and not learn from it.
Well, have you seen the NGP?
I mean, they keep proving us wrong, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I was actually also happy that they had this press conference. One, because they needed to. But two, I really, as much as it's something that should be touched on E3, I didn't want it to be a focus there as well.
At least they got it out of the way.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing where it's like, you know, E3 is going to be, you know, E3 should be interesting.
E3 should be the point where we've gone, okay, you did it. Yeah, your brand's a bit damaged, but, you know, if you show us something really good.
See, that's what I'm kind of curious about for the E3s, because we know a lot of the end of the lineup already, if not everything.
And so it's actually really bad.
Well, usually, there's not that many surprises, I feel like, at E3s anymore.
Well, I think you get surprises from Nintendo and Microsoft.
And
Sony.
And Ubisoft.
And Ubisoft, and of course you can't forget Konami. But Sony, I think, have learned the lesson that for the most part, all of their stuff tends to leak ahead of time. So they kind of show you all that stuff throughout the month of May. Because like, going into E3, we know about Uncharted, we know about Twisted Metal, we know about Mass Effect, we know about Skyrim. We know about Resistance or Killzone. I can never get those two straight in my head. We don't know about Sorcery, actually. We haven't heard about it since E3 last year.
It got delayed. We heard that.
So we know about the Asgardian, they got the aid. We know about the Team Ico collection and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's going to be a situation where, you know, like, I'm assuming a big focus is probably going to be on the NGP, but even still, we kind of know most of the games they have for it because of that conference they had earlier in the year. So I'm kind of curious to see what their show's about. I guess it's like last year where they had like a bunch of mini shows focusing on like 50 different products.
That's a good point. I think it'll be, they'll probably highlight NGP the most. And I mean, PS3 of course will get its, you know, time.
Well, at least we know what Nintendo is going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we know what Nintendo's going to do, but we don't
this
know.
This is like a side thing into the cafe thing.
Yes, Nintendo announced on Tuesday that they have a next-generation console in works, which will be fully debuted at E3 and playable at the event, and it will be out sometime in 2012.
It's still rumored that it may play video games, though. They don't have a confirm on that, though.
See, if this is any other company, I would... but, I mean, Nintendo... If it does anything else, it's kind of more the point. I mean, there's still a company that hasn't done a system that plays movies. I mean, yeah. It has Netflix, but it doesn't do DVDs or Blu-ray, so we shall see how that works
out.
What
was that Panasonic GameCube? The Cube?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, it's that.
I want one of those.
It looks like a giant toaster.
It looked pretty damn
It did kind of look like a toaster.
And that's not to say that the GameCube was the height of aesthetic design, but the Cube looked like a toaster, so... I've been saying this for a while. As much rumors as we got about Project Cafe, I still can't wrap my head around this whole controller aspect.
Well,
of
the screens
on
the
we'll see enough.
Yeah,
I can't wrap my head around a 6-inch screen. That's the size of the Kindle screen. That's huge.
Is it? Well, no. I think six. I mean, it depends on how the 6 inches is measured. Because I think most people are saying it's about the. I think it's about the size of like an iPod, an iPhone screen, isn't it?
What? That's like 3 inches.
No, the iPhone's about between 3 and 4 inches.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you measure screens diagonally, not
right.
And that's all you. I don't know. Because my phone looks like about 7 inches. And it's not that big.
I'm sure. What phone do you have?
I had Incredible.
No, that's not that big at all.
Yeah, let's see how big.
Everyone's googling it now.
Yeah. Okay, so mine is 4 inches. So yeah, that's a huge screen then.
Yeah. So and they're gonna have that on top of traditional buttons and a joystick.
Yeah. See, the thing is, and the closest I can get to it in my head is it's gonna kind of end up looking like a GBA.
And it's gonna cost a lot. Controllers cost a lot anyway. But if you have a controller with a screen on it, oh my god.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, but how much of that controller is actually like, cost and how much of it is just them marking it up? Like, is there a reason the 360 controller needs to cost $60?
No.
Microsoft?
No, but that's the thing. That controller is going to cost a hell of a lot more.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to cost a lot, but I don't... I mean, at most I see it cost... Like, okay. Because I think as it stands now, it's not always the case anymore, but at least for a point, it costs $80 to get a full working Wii controller. It was, you know, 50 for the Wiimote.
The screens are quite expensive.
Wiimote was 40.
Okay, Wiimote was 40, the Nunchuck was 20, and the Wii Motion Plus was 20.
Oh, don't pull that bullshit, girl.
Like I said, for a full controller.
Okay, if you want to pull that now, the Wiimote Plus is 40.
Yeah, that's what I said at a time. There was like a year and a half where it didn't have the Wiimote Plus.
There's also hardly a reason to have the Wiimote. I mean, if you had the Wii Motion Plus, chances are you got it in a game that was bundled.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you got it on its own, that's kind of special.
And if you paid full price, that's like...
Yeah, if you pay full price, it was $80 for a controller.
But like, it's so easy to not play.
Yeah, and if you really wanted to, you could have got it for, you could have got $50 and got Wii Fit and got a game with it. You could have paid like $50 to get Wii Sports Resorts and got Wii Motion Plus. At least you would have got two games out of it as well. This console doesn't seem scream Nintendo to me because it doesn't seem cost efficient. Because, like, the system itself from the rumors doesn't sound like it's going to be anything, you know, it's going to be, like, IGN says to, what, $300 to $400.
Yeah.
But that's why they're saying, this is their play to get back at the hardcore market.
See, I don't think Nintendo said that. I think that's what...
That's why everyone's assuming.
Yeah, that's what people are assuming. And it's kind of like, it's being filtered through the gaming press, and they're like, oh, shiny specs, it's an HD, it's kind of what we want. And, I mean, until we see the controller and the type of games lineup they have, I don't think you can say either way what Nintendo's direction is. But at the
be the same as always. They're going to do everything.
Yeah, as I said, on the same hand, I didn't think that when the Wii came out, I didn't think it was like, oh, Nintendo's going after a casual crowd. I thought they were just, oh, this is a cool controller.
That's because in a lot of ways they created that crowd.
It didn't create that crowd. I think
it was just because it was massively accessible.
Or expanded it significantly.
I think it's not even expanded, because then it would. I think the PS2 is a better example, where I think the difference with the PS2 and the Wii is that the PS2 had such a vast variety of games that, you know, casuals could buy a bunch of different stuff and you wouldn't notice.
But people's like grandmas and moms and stuff weren't buying PS2s for themselves.
But we don't know that.
But have you ever seen, like, all my aunts and uncles and everyone, they all have Wiis, and none of them ever touched a PS2 or anything like that.
Yeah, but
they're not isolated incidents, you see.
It's not isolated incidents, but I'm saying that there's no way, okay, there's not 150 quote-unquote enthusiastic gamers. People who bought the PS2 were people who bought it either, like, when it got cheap as a standalone DVD player, or they bought it for like GTA, or they bought it for Madden.
Or they bought it for their kids, or they bought it in, you know, some places don't even have PS3s yet. Like, the PS2 is the current generation there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's stuff like that, where there's an audience that has always existed. I mean, there's a reason why we had 8 Mario parties. It wasn't because Nintendo enjoyed making them.
Because they sold.
I don't know. Okay, well, whatever.
I think the difference is that it's been so highly concentrated because something like Wii Sports, I mean, granted it's cheated, but it sold 76 million copies, or something like Wii Fit has sold 28 million copies, that people are like, oh, these are people who don't usually play games, which is might be true, but that's the point of expanding your audience. Speaking of Nintendo, in addition to announcing the Project Cafe, they had their financial investors meeting this week, I guess is what you want to call it.
Profits were down a lot.
Well, their
profits. It's expected, to be honest.
It's kind of funny when people say that their profits are down and stuff, is that they still make more than Microsoft and Sony combined. I think somebody said roughly that they make five times as much money as these two now. But, profits are down because Wii sales are down.
And 3DS sales are not up.
The 3DS sales aren't what they expected.
I mean,
they were expecting a pretty big amount, though.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were expecting 4 million.
And then they got 3.6, so it's not like they were that far. And they said some of that was because of the earthquake, too. So, I mean,
it's to be expected, but it's nice that they're acknowledging it, not like, oh, you know what, we just missed it by a little bit, we're not going to do anything about it. They're actively engaging in it, like, we didn't meet expectations, we're going to work harder, you know.
Hey, but didn't Reggie say that, the abundance of supply was intentional?
And they did ship it out. If you ship it out, doesn't mean that they sold everything, which is the problem, and that's something to address it. I mean, one of the things they address, and this is something Jason brought up way before the 3DS came up, is how do you get the eShop into everybody's hand, and they decided that the best way to do it would be to offer everybody a free game to update their firmware.
Yeah.
So they're offering ExciteBike.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, yeah.
Has that been confirmed for America yet, or anywhere besides Japan?
I thought it was a global thing. I could be mistaken.
Nintendo, they're very good at saying, yeah, this is global.
And so,
they can't translate their games quick enough.
Well, I mean,
my bike does some translating.
Which, they don't even have voice acting, so
that's not an excuse for Nintendo. No, Kirby had no voice acting in it.
No, that's what I'm saying. It should take less time.
Well, Kirby's different.
Nintendo.
I know.
Kirby was different. I think that was just more of a strategy than it was saying this to go to Europeans, where it's like, we don't have any, like, right now, they have nothing, they've had nothing in any territory since February. And that was another thing they touched on, is that they'll have a game a month for the Wii in Japan at least, going forward.
For the 3DS too, they're gonna make sure their software streams more consistent.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you can even see
Yeah, they then decide to limit the amount of copies produced for Ocarina of Time. Which, okay, if you ask me, I know I'm kind of jumping here, but this is silly because people are buying a 3DS just for Ocarina of Time 3D. It's a system seller. Why are you?
No, they just want people to buy it right away. They won't do it.
Why didn't it launch? There's no reason. They would have passed 4 million easily if Ocarina of Time launched.
Because they can get a second wind on 3DS sales.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing they were hoping for, is that people, you know, like the early adopters who buy, you know, consoles at launch anyhow would buy it.
Yeah.
And then they would kind of have
files and everything.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, from like Ocarina of Time, they pretty much have like a major game lined up for every month of this year with Ocarina. And I think Star Fox is in July.
Super Mario Kart,
and then people are saying Kid Icarus in probably August, or, you know, they have the Resident Evil game, they have Dead or Alive. So they have it, it's just that initial launch period where they have nothing.
But, like, you need less for a launch, I think, and that's what I think they were doing, you know?
I think it's important to have a continuous momentum, because that's kind of what the Wii did, where it had launch games, and then there was a 2 months before you got any type of software, and then you got another 2 months.
Yeah, I think that's more important.
Well, they needed something in April.
Killer app.
I think it's difficult. I don't think there was any 3DS releases in April. I could be mistaken.
There's like maybe the Rabbids or whatever, but it was irrelevant.
Yeah, but they needed, I understand, they needed some type of game every month, because, I mean, this month they kind of had Dead or Alive Dimensions, and I don't know how well that would do, but it's, you know, it's a major brand, so, as for Ocarina of Time, I was reading the thing, am I mistaken in thinking that this is only for Japan?
What?
Or is this, it looks like it's only like the whole...
Oh, the limited release?
Yeah.
Sure. It doesn't really matter whether it's just for Japan anyway, because it's still a system seller.
Well, no, it's a system seller, but what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't seem to imply that they're having a limited amount of copies for North America and Europe. I think that because Japan is a bit more, I guess, like, prices collapse much more easily in Japan, because if they don't sell it at initial stock, they won't reorder anymore, and they won't end up with stuff selling for, like, $10 within, like, the first week. Because they have a huge used game market as well, where, I guess, I don't know why it works out that way, but it does. So you see, like, most games kind of hit their peak the first 2 weeks if they're not something like Final Fantasy or Pokemon or Monster Hunter.
Oh, I think it is just Japan. Yeah, there are numerous articles saying that it's just the first shipment will be, extremely small in Japan.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, it could be that way in the States, but until they say official word, I don't know. It's just, like I said before, it seems like a dumb decision if it is. Because that's kind of
what it's just to generate sales.
It's not it's not even so much to generate, I mean, part of it is to generate hype, but I think the other thing is like with Spirit Tracks.
They were saying that Spirit Tracks ended up in the bargain bin pretty quickly. Yeah.
Because I think Spirit Tracks sold really well the first week, and then it just dropped off, and it's towing behind Phantom Hourglass by a couple of 100,000 units. So, you know, there's that. We shall see, though. In addition to that, this is something that I'm sure Anthony's excited for. The Bit Trip compilation coming to the 3DS.
What's Bit Trip? that's going to be so freaking good, you know, putting on headphones and then... I mean, if you choose to actually get tripped out and play that game on a TV, it's crazy. I mean, I honestly wouldn't know. One of my friends from my hometown has roommates that actually grow weed. So, I actually put on Bit Trip while he was pretty stoned, and he loved it. So, seeing it in 3D in addition to that stuff, that'd be a... I'm sure that would probably make someone have a seizure.
If nothing else, I think the 3DS was one of the, it suits the Bit Trip series down to a T, because they're really small, they're fairly bite-sized, and you get all the trippiness of it in 3D.
Yeah.
And is this going to make you get a 3DS, Anthony?
No,
I already have one. That's why he's complaining about the Ocarina of Time. Because he's one of those people who bought it and has no games to play.
I still occasionally play Pokemon Black.
Yeah, but you could play on your DS, which you own.
You shut up. No, I still play Pilot Wings on occasion, but I'm about to sell Street Fighter. I think I was a little bit too late of an adopter into Street Fighter, and now there's the obvious clear elite people that are obviously, you know, morally superior to everyone else, and then there's all the dirty peasants that, you know, just picked it up that time around.
No, I think that's just Street Fighter in general. That's always been Street Fighter. And it's kind of why fighting games became a niche market for a while. It's because it was hard for anybody who wasn't a hardcore fighter to get into them.
I think if you're going to start off with a fighting game, Mortal Kombat's the perfect.
Or Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
Have you guys played Mortal Kombat yet?
My friend's PS3.
Soul Calibur's pretty noob friendly.
Soul Calibur is fun. I love
it. Yeah, but I think Mortal Kombat and DOA more so, because Mortal Kombat, you can pretty much do the same button inputs with everybody and get it special.
I will admit, that I only got into Soul Calibur because Link was in the GameCube version.
I got the same.
Yeah, that's the first one I played.
I actually do own Soul Calibur for the Dreamcast, though. So I did, I knew about Soul Edge on the PlayStation. So, I mean, it's not like I wasn't familiar with the franchise, but I really bought Soul Calibur 2.
Do you remember Power Stone on Dreamcast?
I love Power Stone. I wish Capcom would bring that back.
That'd be freaking awesome.
So they can sell you more on disc content.
Hey, I don't care what they sell me if they bring it back. Like, I always thought that would have been a perfect fit for a fighting game for the Wii, because it's not something that's really input heavy. You could do like a special power move with a waggle or something stupid like that.
I used the character that was Goku, but wasn't Goku. Like, he could turn Super Saiyan and like...
Yeah, and throw that giant... Yeah, that game was so awesome. Not if I could play my Dreamcast if I could ever find it again. But yes, what else is there? Marvel announced a new MMO, which I was kind of keeping up to this, but I was getting conflicting details. Apparently you can play as actual Marvel heroes, but some people were saying that it's like one per server, and then some people are saying it's multiple characters per server.
I don't see how either would work.
It's supposed to be free to play also, right?
Yeah, it's free to play.
Related at all to the one on 360 that got canceled?
I have no idea. People mentioned that before, but I don't
know. Wasn't that City of Heroes?
No. It was a Marvel MMO because it was announced on the
same time. And it was called the same thing. It was like Marvel Universe Online or something.
I think
not that that's that original, but...
Yeah, I've been DC Universe Online as well. But as far as I know, this is OU on PC at the moment, so it could have been both, and they just decided to focus their energies on one version to get it out.
Maybe.
Or what? But
well, if it was to be on 360, I can see why it's not on 360 anymore. Final Fantasy XI is not on 360. Not Final Fantasy XI, Final Fantasy XIV.
Well, to be fair, Final Fantasy XIV is on nothing but the PC at the moment, so...
Yeah.
I think that's for the best. Yeah. So, I mean, and Need for Speed, they announced The Run... Has anybody?
I don't. Is this a driving game? Because not a very good name for a driving game. It sounds like.
It depends. You could have different. The Run could be used for different stuff.
I don't know. There's, like, the last two Need for Speeds were really good, I guess, and this just seems like going back to the old generic.
Yeah.
Black box formula, because they're the ones doing it again.
I have to admit,
I kind of like the premise, but I would like it more for like a summer action movie than a game that's going to take me 30 hours and get really repetitive.
I wish Criterion was working on a Burnout Paradise too.
There's that rumor, the trademark Burnout Crash.
But I heard that was going to be a
Wait, hang on. Don't you mean by Burnout Paradise 2, don't you mean Need for Speed Hot Pursuit?
I thought that was going to be the case, but
it's pretty different than Burnout, though.
The biggest difference is that it's not open. It's a closed network of races.
The best thing about
Burnout Paradise to me was the giant open world city and just driving around and chasing your friends and having your friends chase you or telling everybody to meet up at the junkyard to do barrel rolls through a random hoop. You don't get that in Need for Speed Hot Pursuit or whatever it's called.
No, but Hot Pursuit is so fun still.
It's a racing game that I like. That's a hard thing to achieve.
Speaking of, I've been playing VR because I finally decided to. I figured after like 6 months of owning it, I might as well play it. It's actually an enjoyable game.
VR's surprisingly good.
It's a shame that nobody bought it.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I paid £30 for that game.
We play online, and there's like, at times, there's like 10 people in a play.
10?
Really? There was more when it came out. I mean, when it came out, always... it was decently healthy online.
Yeah, there's like, there's players where you can't even play because you need, like, it's me and my friend I play with all the time. And you need more than two people to start a race. So you sit there for like 5 minutes hoping like anybody shows up. But yeah, it's a fun, I enjoy it. I think it needs some work. It kind of needs to take some lessons from Mario Kart and balance the weapons.
It wasn't perfect, but what it was really
fun. It needs to take lessons from Mario Kart to balance?
I know how pissed off people, but at the end of the day is that Mario Kart kind of balances it where the races usually try to kept close. Yes, it screws up the person in first way too much.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like if it needs to take lessons from Mario Kart to balance, that must be just horrible.
But what happens in Pure is that it's like if you get out in first, you usually stay out in first because everybody else behind you is screwing everybody else over, and you're just getting speed bursts of defensive weapons. So I've seen races where like the person in first place comes in like 30 seconds before everybody else, and there's no way to catch up to him because there's no item that slows down just the person in first. Yes, there's the lightning, but it's easy to drive through.
Yeah.
And everybody's more concerned about jockeying for their own position. So, you know, as much as evil as the view show is, and I know people hate it, I think it needs some type of equivalent where it kind of keeps the person in first perspective.
Oh, the blue show is fine. I just hate the rubber band-ness of...
What does everyone... I have to ask this. What does everybody mean by rubber banding in
like,
a racing game?
Rubber band AI. Rubber banding, if you like look at Mario Kart 64, you will be just considerably out in first place, and there's no blue shell, no lighting or whatsoever, but all of a sudden everyone else is right next to you or passing you.
Even if you drive perfect, like the people in back just go faster.
Yeah. And again, it's to keep the game fair and not get it boring, but yes, it does piss off people, especially when everybody starts to come at you at the last, the final leg of a race after you've been dominating for like 3 minutes. I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, that's why I kind of like playing with human players, because at least you get that element where you know they're not, not cheating, but, you know, they're doing something to get ahead, even if it's getting like 15 mushrooms in a row. It's kind of why I also like Double Dash. I like having the two weapon system where you could hold on to like a golden mushroom, then get like three red shells, screw somebody over, and then rocket off to first. And there are ways to defend yourself against the blue shell. It's really difficult, which, you know, does take skill, but it's something. Is there anything else we want to touch on for this week?
I'm playing the absolute shit out of Lego Star Wars.
Which one? Three?
New one, Lego Star Wars 3.
Now, are you playing it, or is it still your collectathon?
Well, right now, I finished the campaign. When you finish a campaign in any kind of LEGO game, you're probably only about 35% done. So you have to go back and find all the collectibles and all the levels and stuff.
This is the thing about LEGO games, though, is it was always fun. You go in with a bunch of different characters and you go, oh, I can use this character here and go jump up.
Yeah, it has a Metroid-type feel when you unlock in free play mode, you can find what character will fit into a small vent and whatnot.
And it was always cool, there's something really satisfying about finding all the blocks that give you the stud multipliers, and then once you have all of them, you pick up one stud, and then you true Jedi the level. It's amazing.
It's been fun, but I mean, it's LEGO Star Wars. They have added some real-time strategy elements to some of the levels. It's as basic as it gets, though. But, you know, in the middle of this, I actually found LEGO Harry Potter on sale for $20, so I picked that up. So I'm actually kind of excited to do that. But before I can do that, I actually have to write the guide for Conduit 2.
Nice. But, I can't wait to... I want to hear your impressions on both of those, because the Lego Harry Potter games were interesting to me because they're kind of more puzzly than they are, action. I guess, action-oriented.
Mm-hmm. And God, the music. John Williams is a saint.
Which is odd, because he hasn't scored... I think he only scored the first two movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they were just that iconic.
They kept the Hedwig's theme, mm-hmm. or whatever it's called.
Speaking of Harry Potter, Lego Harry Potter, has there been any word whatsoever on years 4 through 7? Because I know they're focusing on Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, but you figure they'd make 4 through 7, because
You mean 5%?
They may wait until Deathly Hallows is up and done with first.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to ask if they had a Deathly Hallows Part 2 game coming out, because I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh, we saw a trailer for it. They released a trailer.
Yeah, I'm sure that EA is doing one.
There's no gameplay footage, but there is a trailer, just a cinematic one.
I hope it's not the same thing as the Deathly Hallows Part 1, because that got blasted in reviews.
Hopefully they learned a little something.
Yeah, they learned something that 6 months...
Did anyone when they actually saw it, was actually kind of intrigued by the fact that it was Gears of War with Harry Potter?
I laughed. I laughed. And I was just like, oh dear. This is what the games industry has become.
I thought it had potential.
And then I saw the Kinect gameplay and I laughed even harder.
Oh, the Kinect gameplay.
You know, I liked it better, like, back when they were on, like, Chamber of Secrets and it was like Zelda, Harry Potter. That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone on PlayStation 1.
Those were good. I don't know why they got away from them.
Brilliant game.
Well, I think they got away from them because of the tonal change in both the movies.
But you could still, then copy Darksiders instead of Zelda.
Well, I'm not even talking about that, but I'm talking about, like, the first two. Granted, most of the books are still school-oriented, but, like, the first two, the mystery really does deal with the school, with the third one, you start going outside more with Sirius Black, and, like, you get into the town, and the fourth one has, like, the Tri-Wizard Cup and stuff like that. So, the action pieces begin larger and larger, and it's harder to kind of keep it in that frame, and then you get to Deathly Hallows, which doesn't even have, like, a central hub anymore because they're on the run end.
Well, see,
time.
They shouldn't have split the game in two, because it would have actually been combined a good length for a game.
Yeah, but this is EA. Why not make a?
Yeah, I know. It's just they could have had a chance to do something more special.
I'm sure they're gonna come up with a Harry Potter game that's just like all Harry Potters. I mean, they still come out with Lord of the Ring games and. Those movies have been done for like a decade now.
You're right. Maybe once the movies are done, we can get like a real Harry Potter game.
Yeah.
That'd be
cool. That would be cool if they actually, took time and made it. Because you get it out of movie tie-in and stuff where it's like, we have this deadline, let's get to it. And, Harry Potter's a bit easier because you had the books as material, so you kind of knew where the story's going anyhow. So you don't have to worry about, like, back and forth between the movie directors and stuff like that. But, yeah, there's a lot of issues with a movie tie-in. Speaking of, has anybody heard anything about an X-Men tie-in?
Nope.
No. I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm just surprised that Activision's given up that free money, because they had an X-Men game for every other movie, even if it didn't start the characters from the movie. So yeah. Any final thoughts on gaming in this week?
Anything Tony, on Microsoft? Get your shit together. That's all I have to say.
I think Microsoft gets left in the dust because they're not doing anything.
Hulu Plus, free on Xbox Live.
Oh, yeah.
Big fucking awesome. That's what I'm going to say.
That's, and we, yeah, didn't that is
to,
good.
We didn't have to have our network go down for it to be added. Got more.
I was about to say, I think part of it was them just rubbing it in Sony's face at that point.
Now,
it was been scheduled to come out for, like around this time for a while. But it was, for them, they couldn't have had better timing for the whole Sony issue. Because they, just added this amazing thing.
Hooray for Hulu Plus, that's awesome. I wasn't here last week or the weeks prior. Have you guys talked about yet the Kinect-enabled Netflix?
No, but
I think we might have mentioned it.
Does anyone here have Kinect unit?
No, I was just going to talk about how absolutely terrible it is if you didn't hear how it works. So I'm sure most of you are familiar with
Netflix.
Doesn't it ask you for a controller at some point?
Yes.
No,
You
can only use it for recent you watch.
No, not even that. They give you like 11 suggested titles. Like, you can't put it in instant queue recently watch. It's suggested titles. And if you want to search or look through anything else, it says, why don't you pick up that controller over there? And that's it.
I don't understand why they can't just give you Kinect functionality on the regular dashboard and just let you wave your hand instead of using the joystick.
I don't know.
I assume that they would have to probably redo
like, remember in the original Project Natal demos and they would do that? Just go up, down, left, right.
Give them time. I mean, Microsoft, if nothing else, have been good about updating their whole dashboard thing. So, I mean, if you look at the dashboard how it is now and what it started off with in 2005, It's a completely different beast. So I say give them time. They'll roll out something by the end of the year. They'll probably have something on E3 about how they're integrating Kinect more into the console.
Oh, well, that's the thing, though. This was their effort
to
integrate it with Netflix and stuff, and they totally messed up.
I had hopes for Kinect because I thought there was potential, but there's nothing. Kinect is stupid.
Like I've said it before, that Kinect's potential was only realized outside of video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a ton of great applications, but they're not doing anything with it. It's not like, when was the last game that came out for Kinect?
Exactly.
It's a great question.
Oh, that, I mean, Fantasy Pets. That game by Ubisoft. I forget what it's called.
Yeah,
right?
Fantasy Pets.
Yeah.
I know Michael Jackson Experience came out recently, but it's one of those things where it came out, but it's been on the Wii since November, so it's not that big of a deal.
And I've only seen adverts for it regarding the PlayStation Move, so...
Apparently the Wii and PS3 versions are better than the Kinect version.
Not surprising, because, I mean... I don't want to say not surprising, but even when you had that whole group of dance games for the Kinect launch, it's that everything varies in quality depending on who's doing it. Harmonix kind of has that music thing down packed for them, but you end up with, there were three other dance games I can't remember the name of now, who just didn't do it as well. And that happens with anything. I'm sure there's 50 fitness games on the 360, and I'm still sure most of them don't do it as well as Wii Fit. Or Just Dance, which I assume... I'm hoping that Ubisoft announces for Kinect and PS Move this year. That would be pretty dumb if they don't, because it's their highest... It's one of their best-selling franchises this generation.
Maybe it'll be a Project Cafe launch title.
I was talking to Anthony about this yesterday, and depending on how Nintendo positions Project Cafe, it's either going to have one of the most interesting launches of all time, or a really weird one. Because depending on the time frame of it, it could end up with a bunch of PS3 and 360 ports as a launch lineup. And, I mean, given what we know, I mean, it's like perfect time for stuff like BioShock, or what is that game that Del Toro announced at the VGAs?
Insane.
Or, you know, I still expect the Sonic Generations port as a launch title, or something like Arkham City. But yeah, it could, and I mean, I'm not really keen on ports and remakes and all that other stuff, but it would make for an interesting launch if you have all these kind of AAA titles in your launch profile, because it's so easy to port from the current. We've never had a situation before where a new system so close to the current systems but didn't get the games the current systems have, so that there's a bunch of stuff that they could port to it and make it new and exciting for like Nintendo audiences. But I'm sure they will, but I'm sure Ubisoft already probably has an Assassin's Creed compilation coming out.
They can do the whole back catalog, and they, you know, all the rumors have been saying GTA 5 might be ported for a launch title. Yeah.
And it would, like I said, it would make an interesting. I mean, granted, it wouldn't be that big. It's hard to say it would be a big deal because if they're ports of like current gen games, but it's at the same time, it would make Nintendo's system more appealing than it's been for most people since probably the N64. But yeah, I guess we'll find out all of that in like 5 weeks. Speaking of, I don't know what are we doing for E3 predictions. I don't know if we want to do a full episode on just everybody, or we start doing it next week, one company a week.
I think one company a week would be better.
But again, that's something we can probably talk about off air. So, for Jason, Daniel, Anthony, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 30.
Auf Wiedersehen.
It's good seeing you guys.